Yes, it's Friday, April 16, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning, wherever you're listening, the Tab app, the Sky Racing Active app, 10:17 a.m. in Sydney, 99.3 FM there in Albury. Dave Stanley's there in Orange, 106.7 FM. We'll speak to him later this morning, find out how the Calcutta went last night before the Orange Gold Cup in God's Country later today. Last night in the NRL, it was Penrith beating Brisbane 20-12 in a tough game. And in the AFL, not tough because Richmond absolutely flogged St Kilda by 86 points there at Marvel Stadium. And we're counting down to day two of the championships tomorrow. What a day it's going to be there at Royal Randwick, where a Dave, very elegant, Mugger 2, and Sir Dragon A clash in the Longines Queen Elizabeth Stakes. $4 million. Wait for age. Group one. Can't wait for it, fellas. Pup, Loz, Pup. The
Happy
Blues
Friday.
Yesterday in the Sheffield Shield.
Oh, yeah.
Abysmal.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, I've seen a lot worse, but
it was not great.
Not good.
Yeah, not a good start for New South Wales, that's for sure. Good morning, Mido Loz. Good morning to our listeners. Yeah, they're under the pump now. Batted first, wicket did a little bit. I thought Queensland bowled really well. Again, line and length, pitched the ball up, just enough movement, but shot selection wasn't great from the Blues. So they put themselves under serious pressure now with Queensland being, I think they're 1 for 60 or 1 for 50-odd, with New South Wales only making 140 in that first inning. So Queensland now, ideally, we'll want to bat all day today, and today will be the best day for batting on that pitch. Had a day of sun yesterday. I think there's some rain forecast for the next couple of days. So big day. If Queensland can get, 350 plus, New South Wales are under serious pressure. But, they've still got Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon, Abbott. They've still got a pretty good attack, New South Wales. Just got to try and get a breakthrough early. And get stuck into Queensland's middle order. But, interesting day of cricket and not the way New South Wales wanted to start this Sheffield Shield final.
Morning to you, Loz. The mark of a good side is a team who can win when they're not at their best, and we saw that last night with the Panthers. But all credit to the Broncos, certainly aimed up last night, particularly in the forwards. Morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mido. Morning, Pup. Morning, everyone. I thought it was a really good game. And I thought the Broncos in particular surprised me. And if the Broncos had played like that against most teams, then they're winning games of football.
Yeah.
That's the standard that they've set for themselves now for the rest of the year. So I thought it was a really good game of football. You couldn't say that Penrith underperformed. Yes, they mightn't have been at their best, but they completed high. They didn't miss too many tackles. I just thought the Broncos had plenty of enthusiasm in this game. Payne Haas, Matt Lodge led from the front. In the end, it was just the class of Nathan Cleary and Luai that got the team home. But they're a good side, Penrith. We know that. They learned to win different ways, and that is the sign of a good team. It's all right when you're winning by 20, you can go on and win by 40, but it's in those moments where you're behind by 10, with 10 minutes to go, or the game's in the balance with 10 minutes to go, and you're just holding on. Come up with the right decisions, the right plays at the right time. And with Nathan Cleary, he did that along with Jerome Luai. So well done to Penrith, well done to the Broncos. And if the Broncos continue to play like that, then they will win games this year.
And, plus 28.5. Just want to say, told you.
What about Kevy Spray before the game, Loz? Did you see that?
I did, yeah. Whoa. Obviously, he was trying to rev the players up. And I think he would have made them aware of the fact that no one gave them a chance and he needed to see a bit of spirit at home. The last couple of weeks, they've been through hell. And just try and draw on that emotional attachment to the game, which you need. And they certainly started well. And that was the key for them. The big front rowers, Haas and Lodge, they really got into it. They were carrying the ball strongly. They were skittling the Penrith defenders, and they were going forward. And it allowed the halves some time and space. That was their best game for a while as well. Brody Croft's kicking game was on song. So they got a lot to work with after last night, the Broncos. But again, it's about getting up for every game, not just being up for one game and then flat for a couple.
Can't wait for tonight. Two very interesting games. Just Cronulla, purely due to what's gone on all year. All eyes on them. The 6 o'clock game against the Knights. Mm. Who, let's face it, if the Knights lose this, that means they would have lost at home against the Dragons, the Tigers, and then Cronulla if they lose tonight. I'm penning them for the season if they lose tonight.
It's a big game for Newcastle. It's a massive game. And they really need some players to stand up. And obviously they've got no Mitchell Pearce. But Caelan Ponga, he's a... you know, he's a guy that's on big money and a guy that you pay to win games and a guy that you need to be an 8 out of 10 every week. And I know he's coming back from injury, but we still need to see Kalen perform at a higher level. We need to see more from their forwards. We need to see more from their leadership. That's one thing that stands out for me with this Newcastle side. I think they lack leadership and they lack that player that, you know, says, come with me, boys, when the game gets tough. This is the way forward. This is how we're going to do it. And rallies the troops and get them all together and show them the way forward. So who's going to be that player tonight? I don't know. Hopefully it'll be Kalen Ponga if you're a Knights supporter.
Let's face it, though, the main event is the game after. The Melbourne Storm, the Sydney Roosters, who've built up a great rivalry over the last few years. $1.35 Melbourne, the Roosters $3.15. Incidentally, the other game, Newcastle, slight favourites $1.70. Cronulla $2.15. This Roosters side, which no Luke Keary for the season, so you know a lot of people reluctant to say whether they can win the comp up against the defending premiers and Sam Walker gets his first real big test tonight.
Yeah, he'll be under pressure, no doubt about it, as will all the Roosters players. The clash that I'm looking forward to is obviously Pappenhausen and Tedesco. While they don't come up against each other, they'll be certainly trying to outdo one another. And, yep. You know, when they play on the ball the way that they do and the energy they provide for each football team, it's fascinating to watch because you watch the amount of the grass they cover. You know, they're through the middle of the park, they're out on an edge, they play with high energy, they've got great speed, they've got great anticipation. Tedesco, at the moment, is playing a role of a fullback, but he also plays a role as a six or a seven, getting his hands on the football, loves going down short sides. And then you talk about Sam Walker. The big examination for him tonight will come not with the ball, but without it.
Are they similar fullbacks, Loz?
I think they're similar fullbacks at the early stages of Tedesco's career.
Yeah.
But Tedesco is now developing a very good catch pass, a very good ability to get in the front line, read numbers, play down short sides like a seven or a six. So he's now getting his hands on the ball a lot more than what he's ever done in the past. Yeah. And I don't know whether that's just an evolution of his game or whether it's because of the fact that they're short of playmakers and trying to take a bit of pressure off Sam Walker. But he's a wonderful player, and I think the leadership at the Roosters have really sat comfortably on his shoulders. Mm. But Sam Walker, his examination will come tonight defensively. You know, he's only a small boy. He hasn't fully developed yet. He'll have some of those big Melbourne Storm forwards coming at him. So he'll need help in the defensive system. But, you know, the Roosters have shown in the past, and in particular when Cooper Cronk played in that grand final only a couple of years ago with that busted shoulder, they were able to not hide him, but manoeuvre him and defend him in different positions on the field so Melbourne couldn't get at him in that grand final. At times he defended as a centre, at times he defended on the wing, and then gradually moved in and, you know, found himself in that third position in the defensive line. But yeah, it's going to be a massive game for both clubs, and there's great rivalry between them, and we'll see how they go tonight.
Nelson Asofa Solomona and Sam Walker, that really is modern day rugby league's version of David and Goliath,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I remember in that grand final where Cronk was defending on his line, busted shoulder, and Big Nelson ran at him, and Cronk had to stand there, put his body on the line for the team, and he stopped him. And that was one of the great moments out of that grand final. His ability to play with pain, but also to come up with the big plays when it was required. Now, Sam Walker at the moment is not physically developed like a Cooper Cronk, but he'll have to put his body on the line tonight.
Leary's Lucky Pennies is the headline on the back page of the Daily Telegraph, and on the back page of the Australian, Cleary keeps the Panthers' streak alive as they start 6-0, the only undefeated team in the NRL, and it was deadlock there at 12-all up until the 73rd minute when we saw the second two-point field goal of the season so far after Adam Reynolds did it for the Bunnies the other week.
He struck it well, Middo, too.
Didn't he?
Isn't it great that you've got players that can produce that type of play when needed? And we saw Adam Reynolds, was it last week or the week before? And then, of course, you have Nathan Cleary, who just is so calm and composed at the moment. He's elevated his game to a different level this season, and he's more mature and more confident. And again, you know, Jerome Luai, he was a little bit quiet by his standards last night, but when the game was on the line, he wanted the ball in his hands, came up with the right play. But those two-point field goals, when you've got a kicker of the calibre of Cleary and Reynolds in your team, they're going to be so valuable when it gets to the back end of the season.
No niggle room. The other headline on the back page of the telly, Volandis wants big fines for ridiculous taunting tactics. So he wasn't happy with just the $1,350 fine handed to Stephen Crichton after that melee. Gee, that's dragged on all week, this melee, hasn't it, from last week between Penrith and Canberra. Basically, Volandi's saying that he's worried that, you know, this sort of behaviour will spill down into juniors, etc. What I didn't like is the discrepancy between that fine and the trainer for Canberra getting a $10,000. I mean, that's not right. Surely discrepancy.
Well, this has been in our game now for a number of years, Mido, given, you know, you're not allowed to punch anyone, and I think that's a good idea, the fact that you can't punch anyone. But now you get people being braver because they know they're not going to receive one on the chops. Mm. So they put all this niggling sort of tactics in, knowing that they won't be retaliated against. But I'm actually happy that, you know, we're looking at increasing the fines or penalties for people that carry on with all that drama, because I don't think it's a good look for the game when people are niggling each other. But having said that, you know what? It's been a part of the game forever. Some people get away with it, other people don't. But in terms of the Penrith situation, I was okay with that. I think it sets up a great rivalry next time they come up against each other. And, you know, if you're going to act like that, well, you know, you put yourself out there. And you put yourself out there for criticism, but you've got to be able to back it up on the field. They backed it up. But I can't wait to see Penrith taking on the Raiders again. And they don't play each other in the regular season, but they could come up against each other in the final series. And I think that'll just add to the spice of the game.
And now the back page of The Australian, this story that emerged yesterday afternoon, Roosters make play for All Black. So TJ Perenara has played 69 tests for the All Blacks. There was a report in New Zealand claiming that he's in talks with the Roosters as a potential replacement for Jake Friend. 29 years of age, he's currently contracted to New Zealand Rugby until the end of this season, but he's on a sabbatical in Japan. Now, his dad was a junior Kiwi, played alongside Kevin Iroh, who you would have played a fair bit of footy against, Loz.
Yeah.
Henry Perenara, the referee, is actually his cousin. Look, very strong player, TJ Perenara himself. I don't think he's played it. In fact, he did play as a junior and had an option to sign with Melbourne, but didn't.
Yeah.
This is going back 15 years.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he's established himself in that All Black squad, not as the number one halfback, but he's been behind Aaron Smith for a long period of time. But he's still 29 years of age. If he feels as though, and the Roosters feel as though, he could contribute to the club, I'd say they'd be looking at playing him as a hooker rather than a halfback, because it'd be hard to come in as a halfback when you've been a rugby union halfback. I think they're two completely different roles. But if you look at what a rugby union halfback does and what a hooker does at the game, that's probably comparable. But he's certainly tough. He's got all the skills. It's left field from the Roosters if they go down that path. But it'd be interesting to see how he goes.
I'd love to watch him play.
Yeah, so would I. He's quite tough.
Yeah, very tough.
He's a tough player.
He's a good player.
But just how he transitions from playing union to rugby league, and how easy it'd be coming into a system that's had a lot of success. And today's game of rugby league is completely different to what it was even 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And the speed and the intensity is a lot higher than rugby union.
Mm. I wasn't going to quit on the boys. Morris opens up on Sharks axing, headline on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today. And I did see Buzz yesterday in the Telegraph as well report that John Morris was invited by Josh Hennay to speak to players before they boarded the bus to Newcastle, and Morris and some players were quite emotional. Saw Denny Widler speaking to John Morris last night on Nine News as well. Gee, I tell you what, it was uncomfortable to watch. Clearly quite emotional, John Morris.
As you would be, Mido. I think that, you know, he loved that job. He wants to be an NRL first grade coach. He thought he was in a position to be the coach for the rest of the year, and then to have it taken from you, it's always disappointing. But Josh will come back a bigger and better coach, a bigger, better person for it. He certainly hasn't damaged his stocks at all as a coach. I'm sure he'll pick up a position. He'll go on and be an assistant coach and possibly could become a head first grade coach down the line again. But it'll be a better experience for him now that he's been through this. He'll be a better coach. He'll understand the workings of a football club. and he'll know some of the things that he either did wrong or did well, and he'll improve as a coach, he'll improve as a person, and I don't think he has upset anyone in terms of leaving the club in a bad way or a bad spot. I think he's actually set the club up so they can move forward. I mean, the club's got plenty of salary cap space at the end of this year. He's been able to bring a number of youngsters into this system that will be better for his coaching and better for the opportunity of playing first grade. So, while he's been shafted and pushed out, he's certainly left the Sharks in a good position.
Straight from the horse's mouth is also on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, and a picture there of Adabe with its track work rider, Safed Alam, who knows if he gets a nip tomorrow morning that Dave's at his best, ready to rock for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes on the second line of betting at the moment. $2.90, very elegant $2.40, heading the market. Sir Dragon A650, Mugger 2, 750, 18 and longer, the other three runners. And we count down to a bit of a tease for Loz's multi this morning. The Big Sports Breakfast Best coming up after 6 o'clock. And Loz, I've had at it.
What was the surprise? What was the old that you were talking about yesterday? Are you going to give that away or not yet?
Not yet. Ooh. But if you are part of a punters club or you want to start a punters club, be listening. Okay. Be listening. That's all I'm going to say.
You spoke a lot about, like, you tried to code the word food yesterday. So I'm hoping.
Yeah, well, I was hungry for success and, hopefully...
Food for thought.
Food for thought. You know, people want to be involved in this
I can't
promotion.
Any chance of, like, I thought with this friendship, you're allowed to tell me off air as long as I don't say anything on air. What's happened to that?
It's like that, mate.
You know, you're giving me nothing.
Throw the key away.
Well, you mentioned the punters club.
Punters club.
Do we get any off whatever this prize or surprise or reward
I will have a surprise for you.
So we're a part of it.
Well, you can be a part of it, but what I will do for you after 7 o'clock, I will bring someone into the studio, not to talk, but just to show you what we're going to be doing for people this weekend and in the weeks to come.
Now we're talking.
That's all I'm saying.
Sounds like you've got a hungry heart.
Boom. Jeez, you've been working on that all
night. Do you know what it is?
Hang on a second. You've told Mido,
but you haven't told me.
No, I haven't told him. I haven't told him. I've told Will, our producer.
Mido, do you know what Loz is talking about?
No idea.
I haven't spoken to him. Or I've spoken to three people.
And I'm obviously not one of them.
I've spoken to the people who are going to be involved.
No, you're
going
to say the people that matter. Yeah. No worries.
I've spoken to Will. And obviously...
Jono and Nick.
No, Jono and Nick don't know.
No worries.
I tell you what.
No worries, you three are there.
I tell you what, Nick will be excited though.
Oh, will he?
Yes.
Bingo or trivia?
No. It's not bingo or trivia, but he'll be excited, the big fella.
Okay.
Looking forward to our Friday legend today, fellas. Hugh Bowman.
Yeah.
After 8 o'clock this morning, 98 Group 1 wins. Only Jimmy Cassidy, Damien Oliver and George Moore have ridden more in Australasia, so... Sydney's premier jockey on four occasions, Road Wings, 33 races, won 32 of them, 25 of them Group 1s. Seriously, when you think about that, wow.
Unbelievable record.
Boy from Dunedoo, looking forward to having a chat with you after 8 o'clock this morning. It is a minute to 6. Now, Jamie's not feeling the best today, so we've given him the morning off.
Well, wish you well,
So we've got
JR.